Tango Tango Papa 2035, May 16, 2019.
Have we seen the actual reality of a monstrous crime? Or merely an illusion, the product of a tortured brain?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Tom Wiles here with you, coming to you this evening from Chillicothe, Missouri. So, the last podcast, I think I just looked, it was on the 25th, April the 25th. So I think, I think I was already back at work. And so I'm still at work. I'm supposed to be home, today is the 16th, so I'm supposed to be home 19th. So today is Thursday, so Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So I'm supposed to be home sometime on Sunday, and then I'll take my time off. So I deliberately stayed out longer this time because I was home a shorter period the last time because I had a couple of doctor's appointments. I had a dental cleaning appointment, and then I also had, I think I mentioned it probably in the last podcast, I also went ahead and had a physical, so-called wellness check. I guess that's what the Blue Cross and Blue Shield calls it, wellness check, and so they pay for it entirely. And I was just curious. I've been on the low-carb diet now for 5.5 months. At that point, whenever I had, that was almost a month ago, whenever I had that so-called wellness check or sort of a physical where they do a blood test, I'd been on it for about 4.5 months. And I was just curious. I wanted to see what my, because I've had so many people tell me, oh my God, you're going to have cholesterol out of this world or whatever. And I wanted to actually see. And so the results came back. And I think I mentioned this before. The results came back and everything was fine. So triglycerides, which those are really the, if you want to look at, cholesterol levels that are dangerous. If you have high triglycerides, that's not good. That's a bad sign. But my triglycerides were very low, and then you have HDL and LDL, which really don't matter all that much. There are people now that are claiming that the HDL needs to be fairly high, and then the LDL may or may not do anything. But cholesterol overall is not a very good predictor of disease. Specifically heart disease or what have you. So, and then of course, prior to that, I did have the CT scan. And that's been, at least a couple of months ago. And of course, that came back. I have a score of zero, a calcium score of zero, which is pretty remarkable. Considering I'm age 64, and so a lot of the bulk of people, I think, if you kind of plot it out, the bulk of people in a bell curve probably have some sort of a score, and so I had none. So, and there are people that are a lot younger than I am that have a calcium score. So I just kind of wanted to check all this stuff and kind of get a little reading on it and see what was what. And so everything, the blood tests all looked fine. That's primarily what they did, and of course the doctor checked my reflexes and, checked my prostate and what have you, and he said everything seemed fine, and so that's good, because there are things that can happen that you don't know about. You know, I was watching this video the other day, you know, and Steve Jobs, of course, died, or, you know, he started with the pancreatic cancer, and I think that's essentially what killed him. But if you go back to the Steve Jobs story, he was, you know, I forget what, you know, what year he was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, but he had the, there's a couple of different kinds of pancreatic cancer. He had the kind that was growing pretty slowly, and so I watched this video, and this guy, it was a doctor, I think, that made the video and the presentation. He calculated it backwards, you know, because the slow growing type of cancer that he had, pancreatic cancer that he had, took you know, like so long to get to 1 centimeter, and then they're looking at doubling in size. And so he calculated it backwards, and he calculated that Steve Jobs probably got the cancer when he was about 28 years old. And of course, it wasn't diagnosed until you know, way after that, years and years after that. And then so that, you know, so, you know, there's a lot of cancers that like that one in particular, pancreatic cancer, that start, you know, they could be growing and present for years and years, and you think you're healthy, you know, and you may be going to your doctor and doing all the things you think you need to do, and in the meantime, there's a problem. And so some problems can be detected with blood work, but then there are other kinds of problems that you really need to, like, you know, like a CT scan type thing, you know, where they can actually look and see where the if there are any problems. And so you know, and of course, that's no guarantee. None of us have a guarantee. You know, I've said this for years. You know, you could drop dead. I could drop dead tomorrow. I could be, you know, that'd be that. And any one of us falls into that category. None of us have a guarantee. So, but on the other hand, it's kind of, you know, you can look at those things. And you can see, you know, it's nice to be able to kind of look at things and see, you know, kind of get an indication of what, if there's a problem, it's nice to, you know, I think it's better to really know about it as opposed to not knowing about it. But, of course, you can go completely overboard the other way, and, you know, and then people become paranoid about, you know, potential problems, and, you know, you can end up being a complete hypochondriac, and don't want to go there either. So, I don't know, I tend to, you know, and I've said this also, you know, for a long time, I tend to look at doctors, they're sort of like used car mechanics at best. Some used car mechanics are better than others, and but, you know, at the end of the day, you have to, regardless of who you are or what your problem is, or what, you know, or if you don't have any problems, you have to kind of take these things, and, you know, you're the boss. These people are the mechanics. You know, you get their advice, maybe get more than one opinion, and kind of go from there. But the doctors are not, you know, just because they have their white robes and of course the stethoscope, if they've got the white coat and the stethoscope, that sort of, in many people's minds, that sort of magically transforms them into almost a godlike figure. You know, whenever I've talked about this before, when I worked in that eye clinic back in the early 2000s, I could see how there were many of the patients, not all of them certainly, but many of the patients sort of had a you know, a weird way of kind of relating to the clinic and relating to the, particularly to the doctor, to the ophthalmologist. And I don't know, it's just, it's kind of a strange thing that, people do. So, but, you know, you need to kind of take these things into your, you take these things, kind of keep them in your own hands. You know, your health is, you know, and your well-being really is in your own hands, particularly your well-being. You know, if you're miserable, generally, if you're miserable, whose fault is it? Is it your job's fault? Is it your, is it the situation you find yourself in? Or is it really your fault? And of course, the way I look at it, if I'm miserable, really, then it's my fault, or it's up to me. You know, it's something that I'm, you know, and I've come to realize over the years is that regardless of what situation I find myself in, if I'm miserable, it's all on me. It's how I am kind of relating not only to the world, but how I kind of relate to, this is kind of hard to put into words, but sort of how I relate to whatever it is that makes me aware. You know, because there's this subtle thing that people do where it's, you know, they resent the fact that they're aware. They resent the fact that they're conscious. Therefore, they resent the thing that makes them conscious. They resent the very thing that brought them into a conscious awareness. And if you do that, you're making a terrible mistake. That's sort of like the ultimate mistake that you can make. Because, you know, you do that and you will be miserable. So, anyway, it seems like summer has finally getting here, here at Chillicothe, Missouri. Earlier, I've been here for about probably three to four hours now. And when I first got here, the temperature was about 90. I looked it up on Google, and it was around 90 degrees. And so it's, and it's, you know, of course, it's very clear. Sky's clear, and pretty much there's a few little high, thin clouds. And so, you know, it seems like summer's here. And of course, the one thing I'm noticing now is everything is just extremely green as far as the landscape goes. It's just one of those years where everything is just as green as it can be. And I noticed that when I was out in Washington State as well, in Oregon. Everything's just really green. And I think it's because of all, probably a result of all the rain. Of course, everything was really green out in, you know, around Seattle and what have you. I was out there a few days ago. So I unload tomorrow here at Chillicothe, Missouri, tomorrow morning, and then hopefully after that they'll, you know, they'll come up with some other load. As I say, I'm due home on Sunday. So, you know, that, and usually they do a pretty good job of getting me home. So, you know, ready for that. I get this kind of a large laundry bag, sort of a mesh laundry bag that I have, that I put my dirty clothes in, and that mesh laundry bag is getting pretty, it's getting stuffed pretty good, you know. So it's kind of a gets to a certain point, a certain size, and it you know, it's kind of hard, it becomes harder to keep it out of the way. But I bring enough clothes with me where I never have to face the possibility of going, you know, to any kind of a laundromat. So at this point, even with this full laundry bag of dirty clothes, I could stay out probably at least another month or more and still have enough clean clothes. I make sure that I carry enough clothes that I never would have to go to the laundromat. So that's one thing I won't do. If you've been kind of paying any attention at all to the news, I'm not looking at Drudge Report. I stopped looking at that probably several months ago. I kind of quit looking at it, and once in a while I'll open it up and read the headlines, but most of the time I don't. You can actually find Rush Limbaugh. There's somebody, you know, there are probably more than one person that are posting his entire video on YouTube. You know, he has a video of his show each day. And so I've listened to a few of those here recently, and then Mark Levin, whatever his name is, listened to some of his shows. Those are on there on YouTube as well. I'm going to sneeze. Maybe. There we go. Could kind of feel it coming on. Sorry about that. But the news has kind of, you know, has sort of turned around. You know, and it was all about, you know, Mueller was going to take Trump out and what have you. And there were, you know, impeachment, and harass. And something has shifted at this point. You know, because the Mueller report came out, and Trump was, you know, the Mueller report, you know, all these far left-wing Democrats exonerated him, basically. No collusion. And that sort of blew up in their face. You know, this thing went on for, what, 2 years or almost 2 years? And it kind of blew up in their face. Didn't go anywhere. And now they've shot all their ammunition. They've done everything they possibly can to take out Trump, and nothing ever works. Nothing has worked because he fights back, and nothing ever works. And now they're out of ammunition. They've tried it all at least once or twice, and nothing has taken him out. And now the thing has boomeranged, and they're starting to actually, you know, Attorney General Barr has actually appointed like a prosecutor from the state of Connecticut, and this guy's got a really good reputation as far as prosecuting, investigating and prosecuting high crimes and government agencies. And he's beginning to look at any, I guess he may have already been, they just made this thing public here in the past few days, but it seems that he may have been on the job already for some period of time, looking at the origins of this Mueller, or, you know, this Russia investigation thing, you know, where they were spying on the Trump campaign. And I've said all along, and people snicker and they say, oh, I hope it's true, but I don't think it's going to happen. I've said all along that I really do believe that justice is coming, and I think people will end up in jail. You know, I've said that for a long time. And of course, nobody wants, you know, they've been bit so many times. They think that, you know, I think people thought that as soon as Trump was elected, that all of this, Hillary and all of them would end up in jail. And of course, it didn't happen. Justice, the thing you got to remember is justice moves extremely slowly. The wheels of justice are very slow and deliberate, and they really should be. You don't want things happening just fast, especially when it comes to momentous things. You want the thing to be deliberate and slow, and and so that is finally happening, and so it's going to be very interesting to see how this thing progresses. Of course, we already know a lot of the story, and so at this point, will how far up the chain will it go? Will Obama end up in jail? There are people that think no, that won't happen. That would be too traumatic for the country. They won't do that. Well, they really should, because if people there's nobody should really be above the law. You shouldn't have a tier of justice for so-called normal people, everyday people, and then a tier of justice that's for the people that end up in high office. You shouldn't have two tiers. You shouldn't have a two-tiered system. So justice. People need to go to jail or whatever. Of course, look up the punishment for treason, and that goes beyond jail. The punishment for treason against the federal government for the country, the punishment for treason is execution. Now, will some people be executed? I don't know, but something. These people need to be held to account, and I think they will be. And they're starting to get very nervous at this point, and the rats are all starting to turn on each other. So we're finally at a very interesting phase. But even at that, I still suggest don't immerse yourself too much into news, because a lot of it is just the political stuff. A lot of it, especially if you CNN and MSNBC, that type of thing is just far left. It's just so, a lot of it's just fake news. And then as far as the news that you have school shootings and you have murder, suicides, and that type of thing. Yeah, that stuff goes on. It goes on all the time. I'm not, I don't really care to immerse myself in it. I know it happens, and there's reasons. The reason it happens is because of, people have been, it's basically, it goes back to poor parenting. And, so don't really care to know about all that stuff. A lot of it just ends up kind of being gossip. I know that people can, there is, it's like I've said many times, when there is no bottom to how low people, human beings, can fall. People, human beings, there's no limit to how depraved human beings can become. And so therefore, it should be no surprise that, with all these stories that, school shootings and what have you, they shouldn't be a surprise. There should be no surprise to that. And so therefore, what's the point of sort of immersing oneself in that? There really isn't, you can look at situations all day long, but at the end of the day, it comes back to morals, and it comes back to if whether or not people have self-restraint. And if you have people that have no self-restraint, then watch out, because they are in a bottomless pit. So Anyway, I have some voice files from Joel, so I think I'm going to go ahead and start playing those. So here is Joel.
Hey, Tom. Joel McLaughlin here. Just was thinking of a few things. One, I hope your diet's still going okay. I've seen your pictures of some of the food you got while you're on the road. Doesn't look too awful bad. But I did want to talk to you about, I know you're trying to stay keto as much as possible, and I'm not sure how keto this would be, but it's Sam's Club. They have these Parmesan crisps, and basically they're little rounds of Parmesan cheese, and I don't know exactly what they do to them, whether they're dehydrated or what they are. All I know is it's just cheese. There's nothing else in it. And they kind of got a crunch like a potato chip does, which if you need to satisfy that kind of a urge, that might work. That's also given that if you like Parmesan cheese. Other things I found too for snacking that's probably more keto friendly is any of those cheese bites or crock bites. Crock bites are one I like a lot. They have a little bit of meat in mixed in with the cheese. So those are also available at Sam's as well. But that's just a couple things I was thinking about before I get into something that's a little bit more kind of a...
Okay, well, let me go ahead and interrupt. The diet's going fine. Been on it for about 5.5 months now. I don't know that I've lost any more weight. I think it's probably still about the same. It's about 164, 165. Don't have any, you know, scale with me or anything. But it seems to be about the same, and I'm still kind of eating the same way. You know, usually I eat twice a day. Typically, I don't snack. I do have... And I've mentioned them before, at Sam's you can buy the pecan halves. There's like 2-pound bag of pecan halves for, and nothing's been done to them. They're not roasted or salted or anything. They're simply just regular pecan halves. You know, they're shelled, of course. You know, and they're about $14 a bag, $14 for 2 pounds, which that's pretty reasonable because 2 pounds of pecans is a lot. And so I will eat maybe upwards of a third of a cup of those in a day, but I don't do that every day. I may just eat, you know, just a few of them. Some people have a problem where they start eating those, they can't stop. It's kind of like potato chips, but I don't have that problem. I can eat a few of them and then put the lid back on my little thing, and that's that. So, but I do eat those occasionally, but not that often. And but otherwise, I'm not one to snack. You know, I'm not a big, I've never been a big potato chip fan, that type of stuff. I just, you know, don't do that. You know, now occasionally I would get a, like a sweet roll out of a vending machine or something, but of course now I don't do that either. Haven't done, you know, since I've been on this, low carb diet. You know, I started it around the beginning of December, and so now we're about 5.5 months in at this point, and, you know, I don't have any temptation at all to, you know, break the diet. So what I, you know, like today, I can give you a good example of what I ate this morning. I had, there was like an 8-ounce steak, like a ribeye, and with that, I had a salad with ranch dressing, and then I think there were like 5 tomato slices, and that was what I had for this morning. It was about 10 o'clock I ate. And then later this afternoon, I stopped at this other place And I had, what did I have? An omelet, you know, that had a bunch of, you know, it had some ham and bacon and green pepper and, you know, some different things in it. And cheese and what have you, and then also a salad with ranch dressing, and so that's what I had. That was later this afternoon, you know, kind of late, sort of mid afternoon or getting towards later afternoon, and then I won't eat anything again until tomorrow. So, you know, I'm not, you know, it's been a few hours now since I ate, and I'm perfectly hunting. Satisfied, and I don't see my, you know, I don't think I'll be eating anything else. Now, of course, I'll, you know, drink some liquids or what have you, you know, either tea or water, but that will be that until, you know, I'd eat again sometime tomorrow, maybe for lunch. So I'm not really having a problem, craving any kind of snacks or any of that. It's just I don't really have that problem, fortunately. I know for some people it's that can be a big problem, but I just don't have that. You know, part of it, you know, you have some physical things, you know, you know like I'll sometimes feel a little bit of twinge of hunger, and if I do, I'll either if I'm in a position, I'll go ahead and eat, stop somewhere and eat. But if I can't, then I can just eat a few of those pecan halves, and that's usually enough to, you know, to just kind of put a stop to it. If I want to, you know, delay, if I can't eat right away, or if I want to delay it for whatever reason, then I can just kind of get, you know, eat a few of those pecan halves and sort of get rid of the, you know, whatever little twinge of hunger there was, and then eat later whenever it's more convenient. Depending on where I'm at, I did that day before yesterday when I was going across Wyoming. So, of course, there are other reasons that people eat. A lot of it has to do psychologically, you know. Because there is a thing that happens where people feel like they need to eat and they're not really hungry. It's just a psychological thing that's causing them to want to eat. You know, I had this waitress today I was talking to, and she said, or this afternoon, she said, well, sometimes I eat if I'm bored. Well, you know, that's a really bad reason to eat. Why are you bored? What is that? You know, when people say I'm bored, the way I look at that, you know, the whole thing about being bored is that, you know, what is that? You think, well, I'm lacking distraction. I need something to take my attention away, to sort of run away with my attention. Why do you want to run away with your attention? What's wrong? Is something that tells me something's about to catch up with you? Conscience? Your conscience is about to catch up with you. You know, that's what boring is about. You know, your cat doesn't get bored. Your dog doesn't get bored. You look out in the field as you're driving along and you see the cattle. You know, they're not bored. They're either eating or they just kind of lay down and, you know, they just kind of sit down on the ground and look pretty peaceful. So why can't human beings do that? The answer is that we actually can. We can do that and not be bored. That, you know, this whole idea of being bored revolves around something is about to catch up with you that you've tried to run away from. So food is a big escape for a lot of people. And it really shouldn't be. You know, because we have to have food for, you know, to kind of nourish our bodies and, you know, so we get some energy. But we end up kind of perverting it into something that it should never be. And, of course, the results, you can see the results. Just look at people. Just, you know, if you're out in any kind of public place, anywhere in, you know, in the country and in probably the world, you can see the results. You know, look at all the obese people that are eating the wrong foods. And a lot of them know they're eating the wrong foods. You know, it's not, you know, there's some of them that they may not know that they're just, they think, well, I just can't control my appetite or whatever, but you're eating, you know, I can tell you, you're eating the wrong foods. I'm eating as much as I possibly, you know, I eat large meals. When I eat, I'm eating, you know, I'm not skimping. I'm eating some pretty large meals, and yet, for some reason, you know, I'm maintaining my weight, and it's kind of an amazing thing, and it has nothing to do with overeating. It's eating the wrong things that's caused the problem. You know, and so there are lots of obese people, or people that are overweight, or that, you know, you can just look and you can see there, you know, most of them end up with some sort of a gut, and then the gut, you know, if you get 20, 30, 40 pounds overweight, you're obese, you know, and then that ends up really creating problems for your body, you know, and your body's able to compensate for it, you know, maybe for decades. You know, some people are, depending on your body metabolism, your body's makeup, some people can get away, seemingly can get away with it for a long time, and other people just can't get away with it forever. But it does kind of tell a story, you know, because I can just look at people and I can see, yep, they're eating the wrong things. You know, and a lot of them actually, you know, because I have conversations with all kinds of people about this diet since I've been on, you know, doing, you know, the low carb thing, cutting out the processed carbohydrates, and of course the, you know, the potatoes, because potatoes are not processed carbohydrates, but they're carbohydrates nonetheless. So cutting out pasta, potatoes, rice, and bread, and any kind of desserts. I've had lots of conversations with people, and there's a lot of them that know that they shouldn't be eating the, you know, the sweets and all that, but they do it anyway. You know, I can't give up my bread, or I can't give up my pasta, or I can't give up my potatoes. I've heard those three things. I've never really heard anybody say they can't give up their rice, but I'm sure those people exist too. So they seem to be a little bit more rare. Mostly it's bread and pasta that people can't give up. Or their desserts.
Yeah, I won't call it necessarily political, but it's just that there was a recent news story about a school in Rhode Island where they would give kids a cold sandwich if their parents owed money instead of a hot meal. And first off, I think that's actually not a bad idea, because at least the cold sandwich might cost a little less money for the district. And to be clear, now some say, well, some look, especially the left, looks at this as really awful. And they, I don't know why the hot meal all of a sudden got a, you know, like a, to be a human rights thing. I don't know. But, you know, what even further, though, is these are parents that actually can afford to feed their children, that aren't paying their debts at school. Because back in my day, when you were in school, it was like $1, $1.50 for lunch. You'd walk in, you pay for it, you get your meal. And either now in the early days, they would just, you know, kind of pay it, and the kid never carried it. But once I got to be in middle school, I started carrying my own lunch money, and I was responsible for buying my own lunch. And they would collect the money and stuff like that. But nowadays, there's a, like when my son was in school, they had this number system. So that's kind of what's going on here in Rhode Island. Each kid would have a number they'd have to remember so that they could eat, and their parents would pay either online or via sending a check or money in to the school. I mean, that way the cafeteria wouldn't have to have a till or anything like that. They would just have the system. You know, they'd punch numbers in and the system would beep, and then the kid could go on ahead. So, and I don't know if this is just an elementary school or if they get rid of this once they go into high school, whatever. But this goes.
Now let me interrupt once again. When I was a kid, back in my day, when I was a kid going to school, what they did, you had this little card. You had the little lunch card. It was kind of a little printed card that would fit in a billfold. It was about the, I'd say roughly the size of a modern day credit card. And it was, you know, it was just a little card type, you know, card stock thing. And it was printed, and you'd have the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So MTWTF. And what they would do, your mom would send you to school with your lunch money, and then you'd buy the card. And I don't remember the details of buying the card, but in any case, maybe you did that in the lunchroom, I can't remember. But you had this card, and it might be, you know, printed on like a blue card or whatever, blue card stock, or it could be different colors. And I think they had different lengths of, you know, you could buy like a 1 week card and maybe, you know, like a 2 week or a month card. I can't remember now. But in any case, they had a little punch, like a little hole puncher. And you'd go through the line, and they would, before you got to the part where they passed the food out, and they would punch the card. You know, punch the hole, you know, for like Monday or whatever, where the M was, they'd punch the hole. And so, you know, once the card was completely consumed, then it was time to get a new card. And in the cases where you forgot, let's say you forgot to bring your lunch money or whatever, then it seems to me, I kind of remember, they'd go ahead and let you eat. And then you'd have to bring the money, you know, kind of the next day or whatever. And then, you know, and of course they'd already give you a card that has the, like the, you know, one of the days punched out of it. So, you know, they weren't letting kids, you know, starve or, you know, trying to give them different food or whatever. I don't know. I think that's kind of a mistake to you know, for the school to single the kids out. You know, oh, here, you get a cold sandwich because you have defective parents. You get the cold sandwich. You know, so that they shouldn't single the kid. The school itself shouldn't single the kids out because they're already singling them out. You know, in many different ways, they're already kind of screwing the kids up psychologically. You know, without kind of making a difference, you know, between the kids, you know, with the lunch. So, I don't know. I go back to what I've said for years. If you have a kid, if you love your kids, you don't send them to public school. That's just, the modern public schools are a cesspool. More so than ever. They were cesspools when I was in, you know, when I was a kid and going to school in the 1960s and the 1970s, the public schools were cesspools. And of course, they're far worse now than they were then. You know, and so, you know, knowing what I know, if I had, you know, and I never don't have kids, never will have, but if I did, I would not send them to public school. If I really love them. You know, that's just the bottom line. So, because these places, they really are cesspools. And, you know, there's a good chance that they're going to really screw your kid up psychologically. More, you know. Of course, parents do that anyway. You know, the schools kind of take over where the parents, you know, they sort of capitalize on the parents' failings, take over where the parents have failed. an amplify on it. And thus you see all of the school shootings and what have you going on. So, I don't know. I could imagine, you know, just let's just use our imagination and, you know, then they decide, well, we're going to put chips into kids, and maybe they could put the chip in their forehead or in their hand, and then, you know, the RFID chip, and then they could just scan them and, you know, and do it that way. Why not? Let's, you know, come here, we have to scan you. Little Johnny, little Susie. We're going to scan you. You know, not. I don't know. It's insane, utter insanity. You know. So, and then the stuff that they're serving them is crap. You know, they serve them. You know, because it was crap and back in my day, the stuff was garbage. You know, because they, you know, even back in the 60s, they'd try to serve pizza. Or sauerkraut, which was just horrible. You know, sometimes they'd have spaghetti. I didn't like, you know, that. I liked that okay. You know, sort of a crappy version of spaghetti they'd have sometimes. Where they'd have some meat or whatever. Some of that was, you know, some of the vegetables were okay, but the sauerkraut was, I can't believe that they would even try to serve. Of course, some kids liked it. I would eat the wieners out of it. And then, you know, if I couldn't give it to somebody else, then I'd just, you know, kind of hide it in the empty milk carton to get rid of it. Because it was, you know, that's just one thing I will not eat. But, I don't know. The public school system is a disaster, just an utter disaster. And you know, as I say, the public school system takes over where at the failure points of the parents, and so they amplify on those failure points. And so, you know, is it any wonder that some kids take guns to school and, you know, decide they're going to just shoot everybody up? Is that really such a surprise? By the way, without going into any details, came across this situation where somebody that I was acquainted with did something that kind of shocked me. It was just completely out of character. You know, because, you know, it's interesting because, you know, I think everybody kind of does this, but, and certainly I do it, you know, if I'm around somebody, you know, even, let's say online, or even maybe have met them in person once, and you have this idea of sort of what their behavior is, and you sort of put, you know, it's almost like you put a little box around the behavior, and then all of a sudden they do something, let's say they break a law, you know, just do something just utterly terrible, and it's shocking. But why, you know, what is that? You know, of course, they did a pretty good job of bamboozling you into thinking, well, this is what they were. But, you know, then all of a sudden it is a kind of a shock. You know, it's always a shock, you know, the murder-suicide. You know, the people, the neighbors always say, well, you know, so-and-so was such a nice person. How could that be? Well, they were doing a great job of kind of hiding who they really were. But in thinking about this situation, and I'm not going to give any more details, but kind of in thinking about this situation where this person did this utterly shocking thing, breaking the law, etc., etc., I realized that there were some indicators that I'm going to file away for future reference. And one of the big indicators is, you know, too much emotion. There's too much, you know, the person was just way too emotional, way too excited about certain items, would just utterly excite them beyond reasonability. And that should have, you know, that should have been an indicator that, oops, there's a potential problem. So if someone in the future, if someone can become too excited, if they're too excitable, if whatever it is, just can really send them over the top with excitement, that's a warning sign for me now that that person could end, you know, watch it, this person could end up doing something, you know, really bad. They can end up breaking the law, or they, you know, they could even end up maybe doing a murder-suicide. But that's one of the indicators. That's something to watch for, is if you have a, you know, and you may not be around the neighbor. Let's say you have a neighbor that commits murder-suicide. You may not be around them enough to really know what, you know, sends them over the edge, you know, as far as their emotions go. And it could be something that, oh, well, I'm just passionate about whatever. I'm passionate about this, or I'm just super passionate about that. That is a warning sign. And so that's one of the things I'm going to be watching for in the future with people. You know, is there something that just really sends them unreasonably, they're just unreasonably, quote-unquote, passionate about it? If there is, watch out, because that's an indicator that there's a potential problem there. So it's that's just kind of an interesting aside.
Towards where some of the things like surrounding this was the guy who's the CEO of Chobani Yogurt, said he wanted to pay all the outstanding debts for all these students. I don't know if that's actually happened or not, but this kind of goes to the meat of my concern is nowadays when I see something like this where a CEO or a company wants to do something, I instantly see it as a virtuous signal. And it is. The only reason a Chobani Yogurt CEO is doing this is a virtue signal so that he can sell what? More yogurt. And in the news story I saw on social media in several places, people are saying, oh, that's so great, I'm going to start buying Chobani Yogurt where I didn't buy it before. Great. It worked on you. You're a mindless zombie. That's my thought anyway. It almost makes me wish that I was a mindless zombie. Almost. But whenever a company does something like this, I think, does the company really care? Does that CEO really care about those kids? If he did, then he'd pledge to do something more than just pay the outstanding debt. Because this is just going to come back for these students. Even if somebody did do that, some of these parents just don't care. And the left screams, oh, these kids should just get free lunch. And then I'm like, no, they shouldn't get free lunch. The kids who really need free lunch are getting it. They're getting free or reduced cost lunches. Ever since when I was in school and when my son was in school, all you had to do was fill out a piece of paper, send it into the school. It was all handled nice and anonymously, not embarrassing to the children, you know, and that's it. You know, it was just seamless. And the lunch person didn't even, nobody really knew. Really knows. When I was a kid in elementary, they would give you a lunch ticket. You know, and I don't even think they even said on a lunch ticket. It might have. But you know, the whole thing is the real privileged people, the liberals are mostly really privileged people, are acting like poor people can't make good decisions. In some cases, they can't. Most cases, they can. If you go starving and you live anywhere within the continental, actually within any state in the union, you're doing something wrong. My father-in-law, he only gets money from Social Security to cover him and his wife, and they don't give him enough to pay everything. All right. So for food and stuff, he knows where to go. He knows the food pantries. He knows where to go, where he can get free food. It is so easy to get free food in this country. And one kind of real damning thing about that is just take a look at how many poor people that are actually fat. And it's not, and they're not necessarily fat because they're eating junk food. Some are, you know, some of it's just they're eating too much. You know, we have a supposed obesity epidemic, but we don't really have that either. We have what we have is a changing of what all those figures mean. Good documentary, and I want to say I think it's still on Netflix, and it kind of goes towards your keto diet. Is one called Fathead, which is basically a response to Morgan Spurlock and his Super Size Me. And you go in that one, and he talks about stuff like this, you know, about how everyone acts like that there's this obesity epidemic, and there really isn't. You know, is there problems? Yeah, there are. But, you know, it's nothing as bad. It always is nothing as bad as what the left wants to make you think. So, anyway, hope all is well. It's Friday, and I can't wait until that day is over with. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Hey, Tom. There's an article I'm going to talk about right now. There's people that, and this just seems to be where people just aren't waking up, and, you know, why they haven't stopped listening to the media. If you read a headline on a story, the headline is very basically it's mis-headlined. The only reason this could be done, beyond the person who wrote it being stupid and the editor being stupid, is to satisfy an agenda. You know, this is the kind of stuff that no agenda should be tearing apart a bit, which I'm sure they are on some of these things. And, you know, because I listen to the show. The story, if you read the story, it acts like the police officer just shot the pregnant woman just to shoot her. And in reality, this woman struggled with the officer, got a hold of his taser, tased the officer. The officer was able to recover from that and then took her down because his life was at risk. I mean, being tased once, you know, but you possibly could be killed by a taser if you keep getting hit by the taser. Okay. Very unlikely, but it's very possible. So his life was at risk. His actions were justified. All right. But if you read the comments in the Facebook posts that the news throw, plus, you know, and here's the other thing too, the news agency, NTV here in this case in Columbus, which this is actually from a CBS affiliate, because this didn't happen in Columbus. All right. But, the post on the Facebook didn't even correct the headline. It basically had a summary of the same thing. Police officer shot the woman. It was caught on social media. She said she was pregnant. So what? So what? She struggled with the officer to resist arrest. She got the officer's taser somehow and tased the officer. He drew his firearm, shot her. Done. He gets to go home. She doesn't. Is it fair to her? Well, not really, I guess, but she shouldn't have struggled with the officer. And this is the kind of thing that's so common in the media, and then they wonder why conservatives don't trust the media anymore. They wonder why people don't trust the media anymore. Even Democrats should start not to trust the media, because they are lying to us. It's their, rather than just reporting the news, they have an agenda. Journalism is dead.
Okay, well, thank you, Joel. Yep, that's what I've said. A lot of it, you know, you just turn it off, don't watch it. Because the only, you know, they don't have any power other than what we give them. You know, these people, you know, any kind of journalist or whatever, they don't have any power. It's the only reason they have any power at all, however you want to define power, is that people are giving it to them, by watching them and what have you. So the best thing to do is just turn it off, and eventually they'll go away. After the Mueller report came out, CNN's ratings have plummeted. The Richard Madcow show. Do you know who I'm talking about? Richard Madcow. His show on MSNBC is, you should be hysterically laughing now. His show on MSNBC, the ratings have plummeted. You know, from what the measly ratings they were before. So there are a lot of people that are just, they're finally turning it off. And they have been all along, but it's still happening, and so it has a ways to go yet. There are still people that, as you were saying earlier, you know, they're kind of in a little zombie state, and they're sort of in their little knee-jerk reaction mode, and to one extent or another, we all either are in that state to varying degrees, or we have been in that state. And it's actually a useful state. It has a use. And the reason that it doesn't have a use for everybody, but it does have, it is useful, because when you're in that state, you're in a kind of a zombie, you know, knee-jerk reaction programmed state. The usefulness of it comes when reality kind of comes along and slaps you upside the head with a 2x4, and all of a sudden you become conscious of the fact that you were in a dream world, that your model, the model that you had of reality in your head, did not match the real world. And so therefore, if that happens, and then you do become conscious, then that state, actually, that dream world zombie state, actually had a, it actually was useful. So, but in any case, turn them off. You know, they're worthless. It's not worth getting really, you know, too upset about, and of course they're gonna try to twist things, and, you know, cop shoots pregnant woman, just like he just came up and just, you know, kind of shot her point blank or whatever. You know, of course that's not what happened, but, and some people will probably react to that or whatever. But at this point, I think most, you know, a lot of people have gone, a large bulk of people have gone through the learning curve. You know, there are learning curves for everything. You know, and I think at this point that a lot of people have gone through the thing of kind of going through the knee-jerk reaction to particularly online media, and we get to the point, eventually a lot of us get to the point where we just don't take the bait anymore. I'm going weeks now without even looking at Facebook, without even opening it up. Because I don't care about it anymore, whatever. It's kind of worthless. It's kind of useless. What good is it? You know, what good is it to, you know, what is it that drives you to open up a news app on your, you know, on your mobile device, on your phone? What is it? You know, are you looking for some sort of endorphin hit? Because that's really kind of what it comes down to. Is you're looking, you know, are you just genuinely curious about what's going on, or are you looking for some sort of an endorphin hit of one form or another? And what I found is that, you know, if I'm really honest with myself, I was probably looking for, you know, kind of an endorphin hit. And so I just, you know, I go weeks now without even opening the app. And, you know, so there are alternatives if you, you know, you want something productive to do with your time. You know, find an interesting documentary or something to watch on YouTube. There's lots of good stuff. Or, beside, you know, another thing, you know, like an Amazon Kindle. And I think I talked about that. I bought an Amazon Kindle Paperwhite the last time I was home, and I've been reading science fiction books on that. And you know, that's another thing you can do is you know, kind of read a book or something, you know, something along those lines. You know, if you want to kind of be entertained or whatever, then that's another thing to do. And that's far more productive than kind of looking through these YouTube, you know, the crap on Facebook. You know, just the other is because a lot of it's just utter garbage. So, you know. So I don't, you know, who cares? At this point, I don't care. You know, you just realize that there are, you know, the behavior of human beings, it's a bottomless pit. You know, once people don't have any internal guiding compass, if that's taken away, and people don't have any internal self-restraint, if that's taken away, then it's a bottomless pit. And so, of course, all kinds of horrible things can happen, and then you have other people, you know, that are pretending to report it, that just try to twist it around into, you know, like a pretzel, you know, and make it seem like it's some horrible thing, and it's an evil cop that shot the poor pregnant woman, the helpless pregnant woman, out of the blue. And of course, that's not what happened, and I guarantee you that. You know, there are other aspects of that story that they didn't report. And we'll just kind of leave it at that, particularly like racial aspects. So, turn it off. You know, if that stuff goes on, I don't need to know about it. I know that kind of stuff happens, but I don't need to know every little gory detail of it. It's like I've said before, you know, if you have a relative that, you know, a dysfunctional relative that just does whatever the dysfunction is. Do I need to know every little gory detail? If you got an alcoholic friend or relative, do you need to know every little gory detail of how low they've stunk? You know, I don't need to know that. That doesn't make me, that doesn't make my existence any better. That doesn't improve my, awareness of reality, does it? Not really. Because I know that people can sink low, you know, but how does that make me a better person? How does that make me a better human being knowing about that stuff? It doesn't. So, anyway, I think it's about time to cut this off. ooh, I better be plugging the computer in. I don't want it to be going dead here before I've saved the file. So anyway, hope everyone is having a great week. And I will catch you later.
Remember, Trucker Tom is like Visa. He's everywhere you want to be.
Product reviews, restaurant reviews, photos, opinions, and more. Visit Trucker Tom's website at www.truckerphoto.com. You've been listening to Trucker Tom's podcast, and we'd love to hear what you have to say. All you have to do is send us an email to tom@truckerphoto.com.